You're now listening to La Verdad Podcast. Thank you, mi gente. Once again, we're back at it live in Chicago. This is La Verdad Podcast, and this is your boy, Cristian. I said that kind of weird. You know, I was eating a taco earlier, so it came out a little Mexican, but don't worry about that. This is your boy, Cristian Lequin. We're back at it. Carlos is a little busy today. As you could tell, I'm a little bit under the weather, so I'm trying to, drink some home remedies. So, mi gente, if you know any home remedies, feel free to post it on our Facebook. For example, I had some miel de abeja with limon. You swivel it around, you drink it like a shot, and it's supposed to clear it up. But to me, it didn't do anything. So,
cures everything.
Instead, I had a beer. So, and arrachera. So, mi gente, we've been getting some pretty good reviews on the last couple of weeks. The biggest review we got actually was from the group talk. So, we brought back some of our hosts from three weeks ago. So we have Nati here and we have Vanessa. So say hi, girls.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
They're famous.
Glad to be back. We're glad.
They feel like they're famous already. So
No.
They don't even talk. I had to talk to their publicist and their manager and everything to see what was going on. But we're actually doing a show today and Carlos is a little busy. So we have Nati and Vanessa who are going to help me out. But we also have special guests here in the house, and I was able to get somebody that has a busy schedule, two busy parents, and we're gonna have a special show for you guys today. So we actually have my brother Anthony Alequin here with us today. Hello, everyone.
I'm good.
they're a little shy, but you know what, I was like that the first show. And we also have Carla here with us.
Hello.
My brother's fiance, family as well.
How's everyone doing? Christian better make me famous.
That's the goal of today.
So, mi gente, a little recap of what we talked about last week. We talked about fatherhood, and we ended up getting a lot of pretty cool reviews on it. Some people even asked about whether or not we could bring an expert in, and they could talk about, fathers that have been deported and how they keep communication with their child and how that kid has grown throughout the years. So, you know, that's something, mi gente, we're listening to you guys. We're definitely, jotting those things down. And we're talking to different experts out there to hopefully get you guys the questions that you have. But for today, I want to talk a little bit more of continue the conversation of being a parent and actually have the input of a teen mom as well. So, we have the ladies here who are also going to play co-host today, so feel free to chime in. But introduce yourself, Anthony and Carla. I know you guys been dating for quite some time now. I heard rumors of a wedding here or there, so let's see how that goes. I'm more nervous than you guys. I mean. So, Anthony, go ahead, man. Introduce yourself.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Anthony. This is surreal. The last time I had a microphone on my hand, I was probably like 8 or 9 years old. My brother and I used to. We created the little cassette tape podcast, if you want to say.
Do you still have them? I want to listen.
So.
You have to find them for me.
That was the old school days. My brother and I used to put on the radio.
Boombox, and we would get our parents' CDs.
Yeah. Or the radio, right? The radio songs that would come on.
Or the radio, listening to our uncle or something.
Yeah.
And then we would imitate them or so. And, yeah. I'll be like with my little nasally voice back in the day.
Hello, mi gente.
Oh, my God.
And, we just would have fun, get a little cheap microphone.
Yeah, it was like one of those like Radio Shack microphones.
Yeah,
which they probably still have.
The same in stock.
My dad kept it.
Yeah, everything. It's somewhere around there in some DJ pile. Yeah, I got my, we started playing around with that a while back, and I remember, hopefully we still got those tapes, but I remember us talking about it, and when we listened back, it was kind of like, what people are doing now, podcasts, and we'll talk about sports, right, like Michael Jordan. Yeah. We even had an intro Was it an intro with wrestling or an intro with the Bulls original?
I would get creative because I had the Bulls 1990s championship CDs. You mm-hmm. know the. You
know, and the wrestling and entrance.
And then we had the entrances for like Stone Cold, The Man, Rock, all those.
Let's not even get into that topic because we broke a lot of beds here in the house. Yep. We broke a lot of like lights and all that because we used to wrestle, even hit ourselves with the pizza pans here and there. But
yeah, the championship belts.
Those were the days. Bags. And then we would get pissed off at each other and actually start fighting for real and black out because I got hit too hard. So you have a daughter as well, right?
Yes. As you've mentioned in a couple of your shows, you're about your niece. So my daughter, 3 years old, beautiful little girl. Of course, my niece is beautiful as well. So we love to talk about them. But have a 3-year-old daughter and a 15-year-old stepson.
Yeah, there we go. That's what we're going to talk about today. Yeah. I know we mentioned previously about talking about this. Mm-hmm. Talk about a different perspective on raising a 15-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. Specifically because it tends to happen a lot in the Latino households or nowadays, not just Latino, but being like a stepfather as well, you know? So like jumping in there and knowing what boundaries and knowing how to raise someone. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the podcast. But for this one, we got the little one here. Hey! But before we continue, Carla, introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Carla. I'm Anthony's fiance, Christian's sister-in-law. As Anthony mentioned, he has a 15-year-old stepson, which would be my son, Joseph.
Yeah.
And Anthony and I have been together for 6 years.
6 years already?
6 years. Dang. So Joe would have been about 8 or 9 years old, right around that time.
Yeah, I remember when I first met Joseph, he was a little boy. and we will talk about like sports and all that. He wasn't playing sports at the time, right? Now he's a huge sports head.
Actually, it was probably Anthony that got him. Pushed both.
Anthony was thinking, man, scholarships.
Yes.
Basketball.
If I get her to see it's lucrative, how many more would you have for me that
would
do that?
My mentality back in the day, I want to make sure I have 5 kids so I can have a basketball team. Or at least 1 kid for every sport, maybe a lawyer in there or something.
See, my mentality was the other way. Okay, I want to have about 6 or 8 so I can have my own salsa band.
Is that still your mentality, though?
No. Oh, okay. No, it's difficult. It's a lot of work. I mean, I don't know what other word to describe other than the greatest word I know is blessing.
Yeah.
To have your own kid and, your stepson as well, my stepson. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of, you learn to be a psychologist. You learn to be a caretaker. You learn to be a doctor. You're there, everything.
Yeah. It's a very unselfish
job. And you work overnights, right?
Yeah.
So how do you deal with the whole because I know it takes a lot just working though overnight, you know what I'm saying? So then coming home and you have a toddler that's super active and all that, like how do you deal with it?
Well, the wonderful thing is the beautiful fiance that I have who also sacrifices some of her time so she goes to sleep a little bit later so that the baby can sleep in a little bit longer so I can get at least another 2-3 hours in the morning.
So that's where the gray hairs start coming from.
Yeah, for sure. The balding.
Yeah. Everyone used to compliment me on my big head of hair, but now it's thinning out. So
it gets tough, man. I don't know how it's a really hard job, especially you're with your daughter 24/7, the whole time. So it gets hard.
The only time away is my 10 hours at work, which I consider vacation time sometimes from home. Still got to work hard.
Hey, he came over here a few weekends ago and had some man time.
Yeah. We had our cousin over. We were just relaxing and all that. But I'm glad you guys came by today so that we could talk a little bit more. And I'm glad that the ladies were able to join us here, too. So, you've been dating 6 years, you said?
Yeah.
6 years. And how did you guys meet?
I'll let Anthony tell us.
Because full disclosure, I've known Carla since I was a little kid as well. So we were just talking about this outside. And mi gente, I was barbecuing again. I told you guys I barbecue about every single weekend. That's so good. I was barbecuing. And we were talking about how I know Carla. How I know Carla since she was sixth grade, probably?
Yeah, fifth or sixth grade.
We went to the same school. You guys cool with me saying school. James Monroe?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
James Monroe Elementary School, which is, James Monroe Eagles. So, how'd you guys meet? Other than that being kids, you know?
Well, yeah, we were kids, so of course I knew her. I was the nerdy athletic kid. She was the little hottie.
That liked all the bad boys.
of course.
Athletic, you play sports and...
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You mentioned it before. With us, it's like I was the sports guy. My brother's a musician.
Yeah.
So, but it was in grammar school. We knew each other. But it's not like we dated or nothing. I had a crush on her maybe like around 7th or 8th grade or something like that. But she didn't pay attention to me. You know, I was the nerdy kid, straight A student, you know.
Full everything. Disclosure, I still think he's a nerd.
But
I love him.
So, yeah, you know, throughout those high school years and all that stuff, we lost contact, you know, like we do with many people anyways. And it was actually a funny story, you know, Facebook. Her sister, either I added her older sister or she added me, one of those things. And then she added a few of mutual friends that went to Monroe.
Okay.
And we were like, wait a minute, is that Carla? You know? And we were like, oh my God, that's her. So I started.
She's alive.
She's alive, basically. I friend requested her. It was like in August or September. But it wasn't until like November or something that she accepted my friend request.
Oh, man.
And then I started talking with her. We were like, you know, we started going out. We started dating, you know, all this time and everything. I knew already, you know, she had an at that time, 8-year-old boy
man.
And everything. Yeah. But, you know, Mama Bear.
By the way, he's being very, very respectful in saying we dated a little bit. No.
Didn't you bring her to one of my parties here or something?
Yeah.
That was a lot of parties.
Together.
You know, Mama Bear kept them protected, so I didn't meet them for a while since we were dating and all that. But yeah, no, I mean, started back then and started from the bottom.
Let's touch upon that topic, and we're gonna go back to your side, but the whole protecting your child from, you know, not the so from the dating scene, right? So you're dating, you're, and this is more of a female perspective, and girls, feel free to chime in. But how do you guys feel about that? How do you guys deal with that? Or, you know, let's say you're dating someone, and this is three questions on there, right? How do you feel about it? How do you deal with it? And then how do you deal with someone that wants to meet your kid right away? So how do you feel with introducing your child to someone you're dating?
I know for me, I am single, so when I do meet a guy or I'm interested in a guy, like my son really hasn't met any guy that I've been interested in. I'm very hesitant on introducing him right away because I know that, you know, I don't want to bring someone into his life that, yes. Okay.
He wants to be in the podcast. It's all good. We got it. We'll get to Carla now, and then we'll go back to Nati.
Yeah. I mean, my son was about 8 years old. He hadn't turned 9 yet when we started to see each other. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if he was little. He was going to remember who I introduced him to. Yeah. Not that it's still a good thing when they're little, but... I was just really protective, you know. I didn't want him to get attached to people. I didn't want him to, especially a father figure.
Mm.
You know, I didn't want him to get attached and then things don't work out with me and this guy, right? And then for 6 months, he's asking me, oh, you know.
Where's so-and-so?
And on top of that, you know, a lot of men, they'll kind of pretend to be interested in your kid. And they're not really interested in your kid, you know. And then 6 months down the road, you're too deep into the relationship. And this man or this person or whoever is not really somebody that you want your kid to be around, right? Yeah. So you just have to have some boundaries and kind of just be patient with yourself that, you know, you're creating a foundation for you and your kid. Because when you have a kid, you know, it's not just you that you have to think about.
Because it's not so much about, you know, this might sound a little biased, but I feel, too, that, you know, when the kid lives with you, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're the custodial parent is what they call it. I think it might be a little different, you know, because that you're with them. The kid's with you all the time. Whereas, like, you know, for example, like I'm not a custodial parent, you know, so I see my daughter every you know, other week. Excuse me. And to me, it's a little different. I feel like it's still the same mentality that I have on it. And I want to make sure that I know who I'm introducing her to. But when you're with her, especially with a son, I feel like the son, too, is like the man of the family at that moment, you know, so. Yep.
When did you know, like, since you guys are together now, that it was okay? You're like, all right, I feel confident. I feel comfortable introducing my son.
When and how did you know?
How? Oh, wow. I don't know that I could ever remember how. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, kind of like that leap of faith, you know. This is funny, but he used to carry handkerchiefs for anything, you know, and I just thought it was the sweetest kind of old man.
Anthony? That's the way we were brought up, huh?
He would carry handkerchiefs, and I just thought it was the classiest, like, old school thing that I've ever seen a man do. And so it was just something that, like, always kind of stuck with me. He doesn't carry handkerchiefs anymore. You see what happens, ladies, when you date them for a while?
You got kids, you got wipes and everything. Now.
He just carries a butt bag or...
But I think it was just kind of like a leap of faith. You know, I was having feelings for him. I knew he was having feelings for me. It was maybe 4 or 5 months. I can't quite remember.
Yeah.
But it was a good, you know, a good amount of time before I let them, like, have dinner even or kind of talk and converse. Right. And my son is, especially at that time, he would attach very easily people, you know. So I was, you know, even I think to this day, you know, I'm like the mama bear, and I'm like, you know, you can't get that to him. You know, so I don't know. I can't remember, like, how. I just, you know, knew that it was a feeling, and it was just like a leap of faith that I wanted to take with him and Joe. I mean, he would just show concern for us, you know. Yeah. He would exhibit concern and worry, and, you know, if you didn't really have feelings for somebody,
you wouldn't really
show those things. So.
Now, when you met him for the first time, like, were you nervous or?
Yeah, I remember being a little nervous because, you know, she had given me, like, little preview of who he was, you know, like someone that wouldn't hold his words back or anything. Oh. You know, that's it was a funny thing about him, you know, that and the great thing about him, because if he tries to lie, he gets caught up. But yeah, no, he just speaks what's on his mind and doesn't think about it. So it's coming out of his mind and through his mouth, and that's it. That's how it's coming out. So I was worried. I'm like, you know, am I going to impress him the right way? You know, is he, you know, 8 years old, a boy starts developing that feeling like I'm going to protect my mom. You know, even with us, even though our parents were always together and everything, we still were overprotective of our mom when we were little. So I kind of had that in mind already. And, you know, hearing the stories about how he either throws a middle finger at someone or curses them out because they were trying to flirt with his mom in front of him. Yeah. So, you know, but I think I broke the ground just talking about video games and sports.
Yeah.
You know, because at that time, you know, he wanted to play sports, but he had only played in the parks and everything with the kids and all that. And but the video games were there, and, you know, we had the same video game or something like that. So we started talking about it, and I remember I said something about staying up late till like 2 a.m. And then he's like in the backseat of my car at one time. He's like, oh, yeah, I stay up to 2 a.m. all the time to play games, which was a lie at that time. But, you know, he tries to.
It's true now.
You know, he was trying to, like, find similarities with me, and I kind of felt cool about that. And then, you know, the bonding relationship just started from there, really.
Yeah, and with it being a boy, do you see, like, it was like a, has it ever felt like it was like more of a battle or anything like that, or?
Not at the beginning, not at that age. At that age, he was still really young, and it was like just being impressed that, oh, you know, there's a guy now hanging out with us, paying attention, playing with me, playing sports with me, taking interest in the things that that I'm doing. You know, that's what I could see out of him. Because unfortunately, you know, not gonna badmouth anyone through the radio or through this podcast or so, but that wasn't a relationship that he was carrying before.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Breaking that ground and getting that trust was the first little hill to climb.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know,
which I'm sure it's hard to do, especially being, you know, a boy, and you mentioned, you know, we tend to be overprotective of our moms. So, you know, meeting somebody that's dating your mom, I could just only imagine. I mean, I'm an older guy now, and just thinking if anybody was to date my mom, I'll probably like try to punch them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure we have in the past.
She had the whole Dominican Republic wanting to date her. I'll say that.
But Nathi, you were talking a little bit about that too, about the whole situation of your son meeting anyone you date. What's your viewpoint on that?
Yeah, I'm just hesitant. He's young. He's 3, so it's a little different from when you met your stepson. It was a little older. So, you know, he's just attaches himself to people very quickly. And my fear is, you know, don't come in his life if, you know, you're not going to stay. Because at the end of the day, they're the ones who are going to get hurt a little bit more. I'm older. I can deal with it. But I don't want him to like and see people hard, in and out of his life.
And that's a hard thing, you know, because we have a lot, and this is going to go into more of the teen pregnancy kind of being a teen mom, conversation, because it's hard because we have a lot of people, especially in our community, that will have kids at a young age, right? Unfortunately, sometimes things might not work out and they end up having to restart their lives with someone else or a couple other people. And I feel like, you know, how do you cater that? Because now, back in the day, it was a taboo thing, right? It was some back in the day, like when our parents were younger, it was like, no, like you stick with that one person, even if they beat you, you stick with that person, right?
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's a little bit more liberal. We have a little bit more of a mindset of no, like things need to work together, and sometimes if they don't work together, it's worse for the kids, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, being a teen mom, like how did you go with that? How did you?
So, I was 15 when I had my son.
Uh-huh.
I'll say that my parents were not very happy.
So, 15 straight out of going into high school? Or?
I was actually, I can probably pinpoint the time that I got pregnant. So, I was just finished freshman.
Okay.
You know, it was that summer. And so I knew I was pregnant. I went into sophomore year knowing I was pregnant. However, I didn't tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But my parents found out, my dad found out. And I actually lived with my dad and my stepmom. So my dad, he was a young parent. He was 15 when he had my older sister.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Sure. Okay. And my mom and my dad aren't together anymore. So I have a step parent of my own.
Yeah.
And he was a man who still very much believes in some of the old school values. And he was just really upset with me. You know, he made it really difficult to stay at home and be at home. And, you know, he wouldn't talk to me. He would leave the room when I would come into the room. He was just really that disappointed and that upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I decided to leave and I went to go stay with my son's father at the time.
Okay, okay.
It was really hard. I mean, it's really difficult, especially you're just like a young person and you have literally no idea what you're getting yourself into. I tried to stay in school. I took like some home classes.
Yeah.
It just didn't work out, you know.
Was it the school system? Was it hard for
Unfortunately, I want to say no, because there was so much teen pregnancy going on that they were making modifications. You know, they offered to send me to like a teen pregnancy school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Which I declined. I didn't want to go.
Yeah.
But they even on like my 6-week leave after I had Joseph, they let me come. They had a teacher rather come to me.
Okay.
And help me study. And I did that whole program. And like a day or two before I was supposed to return back to school, my son got really sick.
Yeah.
He had to go to the hospital and I didn't go. And then when we came back, you know, he was better and everything. My mother-in-law at the time, I guess is what you could call her, she said that she wouldn't watch Joseph anymore for me to go to school.
Okay.
Because he was sick.
Yeah.
So I couldn't go back to school. Yeah. So, I mean, then at 18, I went and got my GED and okay. stuff like that. Yeah. It's really hard. I mean, you have no money. Yeah. I mean, where do you get money from, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to apply for welfare at 15, and they ask you where you live and where you're supposed to.
Difficult questions.
Difficult questions, you know. And if you really are not kind of aligning yourself with healthy people in a way, it just makes it that much harder.
Yeah. For
you. Now, was your son's father the same age as you? Were you guys?
He was a little older. Okay. I think he's like a year and a half older. Than
okay,
me.
But yeah. So same we're bracket. The same
age. Yeah. Yeah. And his mother was a teen mom too. Okay. So you can see the
cycle.
That, yeah. You know, it perpetuates.
Now to take it a little bit more deeper into that, do you feel like it was a lack of knowing what sex was, or you know, people always bring up that, sure. You know,
a little bit. I mean, again, my father's like old school Puerto Rican, mm-hmm. so we can't even say the word bra in front of him,
right?
And like freaking out. I secretly do it now that I'm older just to freak him out. You know, I don't live with him, and then what now I can, right? But no, you know, we were just told. You don't do that. You don't have sex before marriage, and that was that. Yeah. We never had conversations.
No education.
No education. Yeah. They knew that I had a boyfriend because he would come.
Yeah.
I believe strongly they suspected what was going on.
Yeah.
But no one wants to admit it.
You know.
Conversation.
Before it was taboo. Really.
It's taboo. They don't want to.
Exactly.
They don't want to. You know, their little girl. Their little girl. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh no, she's not doing nothing. No. She's a virgin until she gets married. Kind of thing. That's the mentality that. Old school.
And even in their head, they still want to believe you're a virgin after you get married. Yeah. Right. They just don't think about that stuff. So, yeah, no, I mean, we had no education. On top of it, I think a lot of young girls, and I'll put myself in that position, that we're looking for attention. Mm. You know, my dad, he's a dad who doesn't share feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a teenage girl. My stepmom wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
Really that involved with us stepchildren. So you're just kind of looking for attention, and it's the first boy that kind of gives you attention and tells you that he loves you, and that's it. It doesn't take much more than that.
Yeah. He's the bad boy that's willing to chill. Oh my God, he's so popular, but he's with me.
Come out.
No. Can you tell how many people are about those bad boys? And you just feel like you're so special because they're taking this time to be with you or something like that, you know? You're young and you don't have nobody to talk to. Then, you know, they just convince you to have sex without protection. And that's it.
And I know we brought it up a couple podcasts ago when we had the group talk about the homachista thing, where it tends to be a good thing, and at the same time, it also could be bad for the relationship that you have with your daughter, you know? It's one of the things that I've always tried to keep with my daughter is that I know I'm gonna have to have that talk with her, and I'm thinking about it now. Like, how am I gonna bring it? You know what I'm saying? Like, how am I gonna bring it up? How am I gonna talk about it? Because I want to be the one telling her about it. I don't want, you know, somebody from the street or a movie or, you know, unfortunately porn or anything like that to show them how it is. Mm-hmm. I want to be the one that teaches them or tells them exactly, you know, what to be careful of, and for her to feel honest about that. Even though in the back of my mind, I still tend to be a little old school because it's just the way we grew up. Mm-hmm. I know that I need to be open because, you know, I want her to be careful out there. Not so much about the whole teen pregnancy thing. I just want her to be careful of the assholes that are out there that tend to just want a piece of, you know, and treat them like crap and mess up their emotions, you know. Yeah. Yep. So I know it's a big deal. I know it's hard. I don't know how hard it is, but I know that it could be hard to bring up that conversation as a dad, you know.
Yeah. So. For me, I know I can't say that I ever had the sex talk, or even I was very shy to talk about sex, even to this day with my dad, right? Because like I said in the last podcast or whatever that I was on, that I'm a huge daddy's girl. But I for sure, my mom had a huge impact for me from a young age about just like your body is a temple, you know, like that type of conversation, which definitely, so I was definitely educated. So
do you think that was in the back of your mind a lot? Like your body is a temple kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I was a virgin until I was 18. And I think that was a huge part of it is from what my mom taught me from a young age. I mean, we didn't go in depth of sex because, like, I was, you know, from 10, you know, 11, 12, whatever. Yeah. But it was a huge just respect your body. And wow, that carried on with me for a while.
That or the old school ones, the fear of God.
Man, it doesn't work. You know, with me, I don't think I've ever had that sex talk with my mom or my dad ever still. Like, it was just kind of like, we'll throw it out there once in a while. I remember I told my mom I wasn't a virgin. She started crying. It was like 20. I was like 22 already. My daughter's mom was pregnant. Like, come on, man. Like,
yeah. She's like, yeah, no, it's, you know, the fear of God and then the old, what is it? The old motherhood tales or something. You know, like, if you have sex, you're not going to grow anymore.
Exactly.
That was what my mom used to tell me. Here I am, not having any sex or nothing, being a teenager, and I only stayed to be 5'7". Yeah. Here's my brother who's 6 feet tall. I'm like, what the hell? You know? That's not true.
it tends to be a lot. Like, they make up these fables, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, like, if somebody was to sit there and talk to us about it, you know, things would be a little different. You know, I'm not saying that the world ended because we didn't know exactly about sex, but, you know, things would have helped us out a little bit.
I mean, I would definitely agree. I never had the sex talk with my mom or my dad.
Yeah.
Like, I just grew up that was just so, it was so awkward. Mm-hmm. You know, even as a girl, the things that you have to go through as a woman, I never had that conversation with my mother. I learned from friends and, like, what do you do? What is happening?
If we look at it too, for, you know, the generations before us, and it's more and more hush hush taboo type of stuff. You don't say any of that, or you were a disgrace. You know, if something was to happen or so.
It wasn't disgrace. Yeah. I mean, but just like what Nathi said, like, that conversation would never ever happen between me and my dad. Mm-hmm. That's no. But even with my mom, it was just like she was so. God, I love my mommy, but like. Not that I was going to disappoint her, but I was just like she would almost make the conversation awkward, and I didn't want to have any conversation. So the fact that I never had any sex talk or nothing, like, I would hope, you know, as Christian said, he wants to be able to have this conversation with his daughter to even just, mom, what's the condom? What's protection? Like, I would hope. I wish I would have had that.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure I would have a different mentality too.
I want to be the first one to bring it up.
Yeah. I think it's all about parents just being realistic. You know, like, it's going to happen eventually. And I think being educated on things from your parents, from people that have been through it and know, or I don't know, read on it, I guess, is better to hear from them than your friends in the street who are learning at the same age as you at the same rate. So I just think it's all about education, learning the right way, and parents being realistic. Like, it's going to happen. So you should want them to learn from you.
And be realistic, be open, be honest.
Yeah, as definitely.
I'm thinking as a parent, and make it comfortable for
them.
Yeah. Because we all been there. You know, we all been teenagers in love with broken hearts and everything. And yet, since our parents are walking straight, we're, like, too fearful to talk to them about it.
Yeah.
You know, we want to act like nothing happened. Oh, it was nothing type of thing. But inside, we're crying.
Yeah.
You know? But no, you want to make it comfortable for them. And that's something that I think has been eye-opening, having a teenage stepson, you know, going through that. Where, of course, the mom, Carla, she taught him since a young age, you know, age-appropriate teaching as well.
Yeah, that's, you know, perfect.
Age-appropriate teaching. The older they get, the more they start understanding what things are and what's out there and stuff like that. And then I took it in the conversation of being a gentleman still. Hey, teenagers are active. It's since the beginning of time, it's been like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just go with the approach as well as respecting the girl and never doing anything that she doesn't.
Yeah.
If she says no, that's no, that's it. Save yourself. You know, take care of it at home.
Unfortunately,
that's okay to do.
And that's another taboo that people.
Exactly, it's okay to masturbate. It's okay to do all that stuff. And a lot of people, it's a taboo that you don't do that. Mm-hmm. But back to that topic of it's okay to say. I mean, when she says no, it's no. And unfortunately, we have a lot of teenagers nowadays that listen to rappers, you know, where it says, you know, put a pill on her drink, you know, and whatever Rick Ross said in his song. Or, you know, you have things like, oh, I'm going to, you know, run a train or do, you know, certain things where it's like, oh, yeah, dude, like I did this and then did that. Unfortunately, we have a lot of our young people doing that nowadays, and they don't understand the difference between it, too. And the other big thing, too, that I've noticed is that nowadays pornography is much more accessible, right, for our young kids, and it gives them a false view of what sex is, yeah. you know? Yeah. So they tend to be like, oh, I need to be like this guy, and I need to act like this guy or whatever, and that's how, you know, I'm going to be the plumber that goes into the house, and you know what I'm saying? Like, and unfortunately, since it's much more easier to get, you know, through Snapchat or on your phone or whatever, it starts to corrupt their mind, and instead of a relationship, they just want to go straight into the sex. And yes. I feel like nowadays, you know, also another topic too is that the teen pregnancy is still there, but it's going down, but at the same time it's not like the priority anymore. You're like, people don't tend to talk about it as much anymore. Right. So when it does happen, these girls don't have a place to go nowadays. Right. You know, like when you mentioned, you said that there was, you know, special school for them.
Yeah.
I'm sure the funding has stopped a lot for it, you know?
I'm sure.
And it's becoming even harder, so.
Yeah, and it's tough. And I think they think that they can take the funding away because they see the decline in teen pregnancies. But Anthony and I were just talking, and he said that in the Latin community, the teen pregnancy is still very high.
Yeah.
And I wonder why, as Latinos, why are we, you know, still having teen pregnancy really high? Why are some of these family-oriented things are we still struggling with?
I don't want to, you know, I'm not an expert, you know, but I think one of the main reasons is the whole taboo. You know, no vamos a hablar de esa. You know, or let's say, to put a fulanita de tal, you know, fulanita de tal had a kid. Oh, everybody looks down upon her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants. I don't know if you felt that when
I
you
did.
Were, you and know, no, nobody wants to invite them to the party,
yes.
or they tell their cousins, don't talk to her. You know, she she's suelta, or she just has kids. You know, you don't want. I don't want
they
you to be the same
like
as her.
A disease.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. Like if you're gonna touch her, you're gonna get pregnant yourself. Yeah. Like, come on. So.
And it's funny that you mention it. It's like I'm 31 and my son is 15, and I still feel that mindset even now. You know, I feel like I'm always 100% struggling with these stereotypes, you know. He's in high school now, and, you know, this is his first year in high school, but all last year, you know, he went to the same grammar school for all 8 years.
Okay.
You know? Wow. We didn't move around, you know. I wanted to make sure he had a stable life.
Yeah.
He didn't grow up the way that I remember growing up.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to have anything that I could do to, you know, start the relationships that he was going to have healthy from a young age so he could be a healthy adult,
yeah.
right? And still, you know, the teachers kind of look at you a different way,
mm-hmm.
you know. On more than one occasion, they have told me, can you go get his mother? Because, you know, his sister is not going to, cannot talk about his grade, you know. That I would have to be like, you know, I am his mother.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. Or they talk down to you.
Or they talk down to you like, you know, you can't possibly understand what it means to be a good parent.
Yeah.
You know, you must be doing something wrong because you're, you know, so young.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a constant struggle. It's a constant struggle. And when you kind of do everything in your life backwards, you know, you know, he sees that, you know, and, you know, on more than one occasion, he's asked me, you know, well, what does it matter if I get a girl pregnant? You know, you're okay now, you know, but you don't know. Obviously, I haven't told you every little thing that we've gone through to get us to the point that we are right now, you know. You know, and I just try to always come back at him. You know that party that you went to last week? You ain't gonna be going to that party. So you keep that in your mind. Mm-hmm. All those sports, all of that, you know, it's no more about you. Mm-hmm. That's gonna be whether you think that I'm doing health, everything's great now for me. It's, trust me.
Yep.
And who
knows?
The road to it was extremely difficult.
And as a parent, you don't want to see your kids suffer like how you suffer, you know, because they won't know, you know, what you went through, but you don't want to see that. You know, you're trying to. I could imagine it hurts to hear that because you're like, oh, you know, it's like, oh, I could do what you did, you know, but at the same time, it's like, no, bro, like,
you don't
understand.
You don't want to.
There's so many more options available for you than going through this bumpy, crater-filled road that we had to travel.
I think that might be you asked the question, why is it so prevalent in the Latino community is this lack of knowing what else is out there, right? It's like they don't know what's beyond their community. They don't, because they're not exposed to it.
Yep.
So they think, all right, well, within the Latino family, it's just about family. So we just keep procreating and procreating. Yeah. That's right. It, because that's all they know.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know. That's just
They call it something out there. And mi gente, if you know, you know, if you have a little bit more detail about this, feel free to hit us up. But I know there's a specific word about it where you're just surrounded by that same kind of cycle, you know.
Right.
So you end up doing almost the same thing. But also, aside from being just a taboo, you know, it's just that a lot of Latinos, because of the machista atmosphere, the girls, I feel, and you girls, you guys could debate me if you want, but I feel like the girl is looking for that love, right?
Yes.
And guys, we know, you know, a lot of times that, hey, I could say I love you and then I could get in, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I feel like it plays a big role too, the machista. They can't talk to the dad. The mom is in church all the time or too strict. So it's like they're out there on their own. You know, they become a young lady already. They're out in the wild, and guys are like lions, and they're ready to you know, get that fresh meat, you know. So it tends to happen. I don't know the statistics right now of the Latino pregnancies or teen pregnancies, but, you know, hopefully we could kind of look more into it and get a little bit more of an idea of where we rate among all other ethnicities.
Well, I took a few minutes to look some things up, and, you know, I guess with there being more education out there nowadays and people being more open to talk about their struggles, the issues, talk about sex, you know, because everyone does it. Hey, it's not just a married person, you know, everyone.
Yeah. And it's everyone okay.
It's okay. Everyone goes through the temptation, so it's okay to talk about it. You know, I guess from since the year mid-2000s or so, the numbers have gone drastically down.
Down,
as far as teen pregnancies are concerned. But within certain communities, so certain cultures and races, it's still somewhat...
steady?
Not as steady, but it's still up there, you know. So I was looking at some numbers from 2013, 2014 that they came out with. You know, there's a website, teenhelp.com. It was saying, you know, in the Latino community, 41.7 per 1,000 Hispanic girls reported teen pregnancy.
Okay.
And these are 15 through 19-year-olds. That's the numbers that they have. And then, you know, the black community, 39 per 1,000 black teenage girls reported pregnancy, you know. And I guess, I don't know if it's because of, you know, money-wise or, you know, the situation, the communities you're in. You know, I guess the white people, they're at 18 per 1,000. Mm-hmm. White girls, and then I think I saw somewhere where it was, like, below 10 for the Asian community.
Okay. You know?
So it's still out there. It still happens a lot, but it's not as bad as it was before. Or maybe because there's more people in the world than the numbers.
And I know that change, but kind of, you know, I know a couple of friends of mine that are Asians, and they're really strict, really, you know. Strict, sure. So I wonder if it's coming to that, you know, where it's like they're so strict that they fear.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then again, it's like, do I want my daughter to fear me, right, you know, because I don't. But then it's like my other side of my mind. I don't know if you go through this, too. It's like, do I want her to fear me, or do I want her to be my best friend and tell me all these crazy things? Because I don't want to hear any of those crazy things.
I always
either.
Feared my dad, but I don't think it was the fear of being a disappointment to my family. So it wasn't fear like I can't talk why. There's certain things you just can't talk to your dad about, and that's fine. But
and I don't want to hear it either as a dad.
Exactly. So it wasn't a fear of not just with my dad, but it was just a fear just because my cousin, granted, she was 20 or 21. So she wasn't a teenager, but I know now that I'm older, I kind of like conceptualize, I'm sure, what she went through, kind of what you were talking about. So it wasn't a fear thing, because of, even though my dad is strict, and I think that has its pluses and minuses, but it was definitely the fear of shaming my family at all.
There's this fine line between fear, disappointment, and respect.
Okay.
And where you kind of fall there as a parent is really hard. And I always think of one thing when I think about the relationship that I'm trying to have with my son, or that I continue to have with my son, is when he's 18, 19, 20, 21, and he goes to a party, and he's too drunk or too whatever to make it home. Do I want him to be so scared of me that he doesn't make that phone call and call me and say, Ma, I know I'm not supposed to be doing whatever I did, but I messed up. And I need you to come home. I need you to come and get me. You know, where do I want that fear? You know, do I want him to be fearful to call me? No, I don't want him to be fearful to call me. I want him to know that he messed up and there's going to be some consequences to getting me out at 3 a.m. Yeah. But do I want him to be so scared to come to me when he makes mistakes? No, because it's the biggest reason why I waited so long to tell my family that I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. Or even, you know, I remember, you know, we were having sex, and we were having sex a lot. You know, at 15, you think it's like, ooh, the greatest thing ever, you know. Or at least I think as a girl, you think the boy thinks it's the greatest thing, right? Yeah. And you want to please him.
Yeah, that's
more what it is when it comes to the girls.
And you have all their attention.
Right, you have all their attention. So, but, and I remember thinking, you know, my sister was a little older than me. She was 18, and I was like, I should go to my sister and ask her to help me with being protected and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I never did because I was always just so scared that I was going to be maybe so judged or looked down upon about the mistakes that I was making and things like that. And I don't want him to be fearful of that.
Yeah.
Because we all make mistakes. I mean, I don't know not one person that has never made a mistake.
Yeah.
But now, you know, we probably have sex talks with him at least once a month.
That's good.
Yeah, we have about.
I would feel weird still. Like I remember, because I've known Joseph too since he was like 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. I think he meant it, like one of you guys were mentioning something, and I got all red. I was like, damn. How do I? Like to me, I still see him as the little kid, you know. Yeah. And to this day, he's a big boy playing football and all that. So to me, I still see him as the little Joseph that will run around. So. And I feel like I'll probably be the same way with my daughter. Like, I'll look at her that way. But I'm praying and working on myself that I don't have that mentality. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, it's only going to bring more harm to her, you know, if I'm not open enough. But then you mentioned that whole thing about, like, do you want them – is the fine line of fearing, you know, and being able to call you in the middle of the night. And I always debate that in my mind, right. You know, where it's like – do I want her to be able to call me that she's drunk or whatever and for me to pick her up? Yes. But then I don't want her to be comfortable with thinking the fact that I'm cool with it
all the time.
Right. Yeah, no,
and I don't know how. And that's one of the things that I always think about is how do I draw that line, mm-hmm. you know, where I know that where she will be able to know that it's OK. Hit me up. But at the same time, I don't want her to be like, oh, my dad's cool with it. He'll buy me alcohol. You know,
right.
So it gets a little weird that way. And I know it's
my mom just said it. I mean, she didn't say it's okay if you drink, I'll still pick you. No, she just phrased it as, if you're ever in trouble,
right.
Yeah.
call me. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. I will get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I will call you. But she didn't, you know, it wasn't, because I already knew the rules and I was afraid of breaking them. You know, so it wasn't with, my dad was always strict. So I was fearing my dad. That was one side. But at least I had my mom where I knew that I was comfortable calling her. It wasn't like I can break the rules. Mom will, you know, let me and she'll save me. No, it was if I'm ever in trouble. Yes, I know there's consequences coming, but she is going to pick me up.
Yeah, because I don't think there was times where even for me, like when I would get like when I had parties or whatever, like I would call my aunt instead. You know, okay. Or I would let my aunt know because I had that respect and that fear of disappointing either my brother. I didn't want to disappoint him or I didn't want to disappoint my mom or my dad. You know, nowadays it's a little bit easier because I feel like me and my dad had connected in a different way.
Yeah.
Well, I know that if I'm drunk somewhere, he'll just laugh and pick me up. Or
he'll get the bucket and the bags.
Yeah.
Oh no.
My mom still
no stains on his van.
Yeah. My mom still, because I know my mom. Not so much that she will look down upon. No, it's not so much that. Is that she starts thinking of the worst case scenario. Yeah. You know, as any Latina
it's
mom,
a mother's
like,
job.
Oh my god, he probably fell. They stole all his money. You know what I'm saying? So it's not so much about that. I think they went through a breakthrough as well. And I think as parents, we have to go through a breakthrough of understanding that hey, that's not my little kid anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to understand what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And I have to understand that now I'm at their same level. They're going to make mistakes just like I did. And I have no control over that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I kind of want to segue a little bit more. And I want to talk to you, Anthony. Mm-hmm. How has it, and both of you guys, how has it been dealing with like a stepson? And mostly in the sense of you have your ways of raising someone.
Yeah.
Right. And then that's, and no offense, you know, that's not your son. So how do you feel of reprimanding or how does he react to it? Like, tell me about it, you know?
Cause
so
it's really hard.
I could imagine.
It's difficult.
Is that why you're thinning, man? Is that why you're thinning?
It's difficult in the sense that, unfortunately, the way I was as a teenager is not the way that most teenagers are.
Yeah.
You know? I was a straight A student. I was so focused. I was strict. Everyone would always make fun of me because of, it's like I was way more mature and beyond my years. You know, I was a little 30-year-old as a 13-year-old.
Joseph is so not that. He forgets things. Right. He likes to walk a little on the wild side, and he's not a straight A student, and he talks back.
So how have you dealt with that?
So, a lot of learning,
patience and learning.
Patience, learning, getting, talking it out with Carla, talking it out. One thing that we try and do is not show the disagreement in front of them, because we need to be a solid unit, solid parental front for them. So, once we are outside or he's out playing or something, we talk about it, we debate about it. We, I learn about it, basically. Yeah. I know I have to adjust in some of my ways because, you got to think about it, too. He's got his own dad, but yet no type of real relationship for that. So then he's going to, sometimes then, as a kid in that age, a teenager going through all these hormonal changes, going through the issues with your own father or whatever, and then, wait, you're talking to me about something? You're trying to be mad at me? So there's that little rift already and stuff, but, it's difficult, but sometimes you just got to go with the simplest things. Love prevails, and, I love him. He's my son. That's my son right there. I try and do anything and everything for him. So I got to also see it. Hey, understand, he's going to make mistakes, even though you saw it with your brother, you saw it with your friends, you saw it with your cousins. This is normal. Have the patience. Don't go off the rails. First thing that happens. And so I come back down. Me and him will sit down sometimes away from everyone. Just, man to young man. And talk about things. Talk it out and stuff. And let him know. Reiterate. I think almost every time that there's been a disagreement, I find a way to always reiterate that I love him.
And I think that
it might be just words, but I think you hear it enough, you believe it, you know it. I'm still there. I do whatever I can to be there for him, to go, to any games, to go coach him, to do whatever I can for him.
But that's where you're at now, right? Mm-hmm. So what was it like in the beginning when you guys were first, in a serious relationship?
To reprimand them, or you
Carla, even when you saw him discipline your son for the first time, how did that make you feel? Did you guys ever talk about what was that like in the very beginning?
I don't think I think that's where I wish we would have talked about it. I don't think we ever had that real conversation of.
I would always go to her. Would kind of at first I would kind of leave it up to her.
Right.
I was fearful of not wanting to give him a negative impression of myself.
Exactly.
So I was like, you know what? Let her be the one to discipline. I'll sit back. I'll watch and just accept what she says, because she's the mom. She's the mama bear. That's her cub. Let her be.
It's such a hard thing to do because you don't want to offend. You don't want to offend the kid because you're trying to win the kid over.
Right.
This is how I think, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to offend the kid because I'm trying to win him over. So I'm trying to be the coolest person out there. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to offend the mom because I'm dating the mom. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to be like, why are you treating my kid like that? But at the same time, it's like they did something wrong. Or if not, they're going to walk all over you guys, So how did you feel about when it first came up?
It was really hard. I mean, I don't think we ever really sat down. We dated for a year and then we moved in together and he moved in. See, and I think that was partly a little mistake here. He moved into my apartment. right? So you've already kind of established.
This is my house.
And we never really sat down and really talked about these are the rules.
Right.
When he oversteps you, you need to come to me. We never really talked about it. And when it kind of happened, and either Joe I told me, Anthony screamed at me, or or it happened in front of my face, I was really I have to admit, I was really taken aback. Because for all of his life, because his dad's not really involved. So all of his life, I'm the only one that tells him what to do, how to be, do this, do that. So it's almost as like your way, you know, it's all your way. And someone else comes in, you know, 8 or 9 years into the whole gig that you've been running the show on. And they start trying to do it your way. And I mean, he's being nice, but there have been plenty of fights and miscommunication between the two of us in regards to, you know, the discipline and how to discipline him. And, you know, Anthony trying to get comfortable with the type of personality that he is. And, you know, the bond that Joe and I have that's, you know, unique in the sense that it really has just been us for so long, you know, because this is the real first boyfriend that he's ever really seen me with at that time, you know. So it was difficult. I mean, it's hard just when you think that you've got it down pack, where you think you know what, where to stab and how to stab and what to say. It all changes on you because now he's a teenager and the eyeball rolls come every 5 seconds. Oh. And
the headphones on.
The headphones on. The voice gets raised.
All of it. And so it's a whole different spectrum. And at least that we're kind of going through it together, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that this transition has been a little bit easier than that first one. But it was tough, man. It was hard. I mean, there are still days where I'm like, no, you can't talk to him that way. You just can't, you know? Yeah. And I have to step back and remember that I'm asking this man to be my son's father, and he's really not my son's father.
Yeah.
And in actuality, you know, that's kind of harder than being his, you know, if he was his real dad, you know. You have to find, you know, love for this person, you know. You have to find love for this kid. You have to, you know, understand that I'm going to put him first before you any day of the week, because it's just, it's probably what he loves about me, but probably what he doesn't like about me some other days, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's difficult. I do not want to be a step-parent in any way possible.
So, I know we're in the topic of step-parenting, and, you know, you talked, I'm talking to Christian, my brother right now. You talked about, you know, how you're not the custodial parent of your daughter. Now, as a biological father who is involved, who loves his daughter, who does everything for her, how does it feel knowing that there is a stepfather?
This is not fair. You're not supposed to take the
host. I was going to turn it over soon, too. Yeah.
No, it definitely has been a lot of patience, prayer, you know, because I believe in God. I believe that, you know, it helps me to keep myself focused, you know, at ease, like you mentioned. At first, you do have that man feeling that you want to beat the hell out of that person.
Yeah.
And you don't want that. You don't want your daughter to call somebody else dad. But then you start to understand and ask questions and see whether or not they're treating your kid right. Mm-hmm. And then I went with the whole, you know what, this is how it's gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
I have no way of changing that. I'm not gonna stress over it. As long as they're treating my daughter right, I'm good with that. You know, and I learned how to deal with it. And I appreciate everything that they do now, you know, and there's no, I'm at so much peace now because of that, because I was able to come to the realization. So
you had a conversation with him?
No, I've never really had, I've shook hands with him before, you know, and I remember when I first went, and I remember talking to a good friend of mine, and he was like, hey, what you want to do is you want to be the man and go up to him and shake his hand. Mm-hmm. Don't be childish. You're not a little kid. So I went up to him and I shook his hand, and his whole face, his whole demeanor changed when he saw me. And I went and I reached over to shake his hand. His whole demeanor changed, and he was like, whoa. Like, I could tell that he was like, whoa, you're being a man.
He was being defensive, probably. Yeah,
he was being defensive at first. And I remember.
But you being the bigger person, accepting the role that he has now, and your daughter's life. It
comes to the point where, man, it kills me because she will call him dad, you know what I'm saying? And me is papa or papi.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to kill me at first. And I remember I used to lose sleep. But then I remember, you know, listening to other podcasts that I've listened to and listening to other influential men, understanding that you just need to be, you can't fight over it, because then she'll grow up and realize it. You know, that you're being childish, you know?
Too,
So I let that go. And now she understands that she has a dad and she has papa, you know, and I'm her biological father. Mm-hmm. So that helped me out a lot. And
did you meet Joseph's father? Like, what was that ever? What was that? Because, I mean, I think from what I've heard is Joseph's father is not very much in his life. Or, and I mean, you're coming from a perspective of I know you're in Abby's life. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I met him. obvious disagreements and just. I don't really have respect for the person, but I put that front because I don't want my stepson to be influenced by my feelings. Okay. I want my stepson to develop his own feelings, his own views, his own ways. I don't want, and at first it was so difficult. Mm-hmm. It was so difficult. It's like, why even send him over there if he's going to come back hurt, you know?
Yeah.
If he's going to come back hurt and I could have gone to the park and played with him instead, or, you know, we could have done something else. But I had to accept that role too. No, that's his dad. He's still going to have some feeling, some love for him.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to influence any views that he may have. So, yeah, you know, we've maybe talked 2 or 3 times these 6 years.
Yeah.
You know.
I hardly talk to him, so.
Yeah.
So, hypothetical situation. Mm-hmm. Let's say he was very much so in the picture. And, you know, is very consistently in the picture, even 6 years later down the line. Do you think, I'm sure it will, but do you think that would have changed the way you went about developing the relationship with Joseph, right? Joe? Mm-hmm. Joseph, yes. So change the way that you went about developing that relationship and change the way that you just approached him and approached discipline and all of that if he was very much still in the picture?
Yeah, I truly believe so. I've seen, you know, friends or so that have kids and the stepdads or friends who are moms and have stepmoms involved, and they get along great. You know, they get along great. They're in one accord. You know, they share the same type of viewpoints of ways to raise the kid and everything. So it forms a solid foundation or solid walls on all fronts for the kid. And that's the main thing you got to always worry about is what's best for the kid.
Yeah, right.
And so, yeah, if situations were a lot different, I'm the type of person that I forgive and forget.
Yeah.
And let's go for the better of stuff, you know, for the betterment of him, for the betterment of us. So
you think he would have, like, had a conversation with him and
I'm easy going like that, you know.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I had to realize and understand is that it's for the kid, you know?
Right.
So, like, if I will sit there and, like, I remember one of the biggest things a year ago, it was I was talking to, you know, I was going through the whole mediation. And for those of you guys who don't know what mediation is when you go and you're trying to get custody of your child, you go to a mediator so that you don't have to spend time in the court system, right? Because a judge does not know what your child is thinking. So I was going through mediation and the mediator was like, hey, are you guys gonna do a joint birthday party or separate? And I was like, separate. That was the first thing I said. And she was like, no, let's do joint. And I was like, man, forget you, because you have a boyfriend. I have nobody. I'm gonna show up there and look like the loser, you know. Like, and then, you know, I appreciate the fact that she kind of brought it up, because then I went and I remember I prayed that night and I was like, man, like, why am I being selfish, right? Yep. And I thought about it. I was like, you know what? I need to be there for Abby no matter what. And Abby's my daughter's name. And I look past it. And then I'm like, you know what? I need to be a man and show her that I'm a big man. And I'm going to be there no matter what for my daughter. And I think, you know, we're kind of summing it up a little bit before we close out. But I think that's one of the biggest things is just understanding to be there for your kid first. Right. So, you know, each one of you guys, if you guys want to give any advice to our listeners, you know, teen pregnancy or whatever we talk, being a stepfather, or, you know, having your kid meet somebody for the first time or talking to your dad, you know, give our listeners one word of advice or a little sentence of advice. What would it be? So we'll start with Anthony real quick.
I think the key to any relationship is communication. Having open communication, being able to communicate, feeling like it'll be possible to communicate, I think is essential. They communicate, that means all your you know, feelings or so are put out there. That way you can understand what they're going through, what the consequences are going to be. Just communication just opens a lot of doors for things to happen, for things to be better. And that would be the advice I give. You know, I don't tell anyone how to parent, but that would be the advice. Always find a way to understand your child in any type of situation that they're going through. Communicate. Don't be afraid, you know, to be a disciplinarian, but as well tell them, hey, you know, you can always come to me no matter what. Yep. You're always my child. I will always love you. Yeah. You know, that I feel is like the biggest key, what I've learned by being a stepdad and what I am going through being a father myself of a 3-year-old, you know, is communicating and learning how to deal with situations as they come up.
That's not fair. He stole all the good stuff.
Agreed.
I mean, if you're a young parent, old parent, first of all, for these young parents, it ain't like how they show on Teen Mom. You ain't going to be buying a Lexus and buying a new house at 20. That's just not happening. But, I mean, just to touch what Anthony said, you want to show your kid that you love them no matter what.
Yeah.
Whatever mistakes that they make, try to be non-judgmental. Yeah. That way they feel comfortable coming to you. Yeah. And just try to remember that you were their age too, and you probably went through really similar things. So that's all.
Yeah, I would agree with both of them. Trying to keep the lines of communication open. And I think my biggest thing that I struggle with is, I think you touched on this earlier, Christian, like wanting to make sure that my son is comfortable coming to me with things, but not too comfortable. So yeah, just keep an open mind, and communication, I think, is a big one.
I'm just going to second all what you guys said. No, I'm coming from, I don't have any children, so this conversation was great. But I think just from, you know, seeing what Nathi goes through, because I've pretty much grown up with her and things like that. So the whole thing about open communication, things that I wish I would have had in my relationship with my parents is not just so much communication, but that understanding, I think, Carla, that you were talking about, that at one point you were doing the same thing. So kind of taking yourself back and like, okay, I know what they're going through. Let me try to find the right way to communicate, knowing things like that. But I just hope that I can take all this that you guys talked about today and the day that I have children be the same way. So.
I want to thank you guys. You guys were extremely educational and coming from a good point of view that I think both I learned a lot from, and I think Vanessa, being in similar situations that you guys were once in, and to see how far you guys have come and where you guys are at now.
Yeah, and I know our listeners out there too have been asking to do a second group talk. So thank you guys for joining us for a second group talk. Anthony, Carla, thank you guys for being first timers. We popped their cherry for the first time.
Oh, goodness.
And we have Nathi and Vanessa, who are now veterans here with the La Verdad podcast.
Thanks for having us back, Christian.
For sure. And we'll have Carlos joining us again. Thank you, mi gente. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes, subscribe. You can find us on social media with any of our with our name La Verdad LTD, or you can go onto our website www.laverdadltd.com. Once again, gracias, mi gente, and stay safe out there. And hopefully give us some feedback, write us on Facebook or comment. But once again, thank you. Gracias.